Well, hello again. It's good to be with you again this week. I thought we'd change things up just a little bit. And I'd do a service here from our living room. And I don't know, I just felt like changing things somewhat. We're going to continue our study about humbling ourselves. You know, every year for years, right at the beginning of the year, the Lord has talked to me about humbling myself some more. And usually it comes in this format. It'll be, and he's really just talking to me, but I think he's also talking to all of us, because the Lord, you know, he gives more grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. And Jesus said the way to be great is to become the servant of all. That's to humble yourself. So I've heard for years him say, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. And when you think you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. But this year, as you already know, he gave me 7 practical ways to humble myself. And I believe we can all learn from this. So let me get my list here. This year, he said to me, humble yourself by believing the word. And we've already taught one lesson on that. Humble yourself through fasting. Humble yourself by praying. And last couple of weeks, we've talked about fasting and prayer. Of course, really in a short sessions like that, you can only skim the surface. I highly recommend all of the teachings by Pastor Dave Roberson on prayer and fasting and just everything. A wonderful resource that's still there available for you, daveroberson.org. So, well, what part should I listen to? All of them. I've listened to all of them more than once. And like the Born Again Trail, I don't even know how many times I have listened to those. There's a wealth, a treasure trove of information. And they don't ask me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, that you, if you partake of the fruit of Dave Roberson's ministry, please consider making a donation. They have a contributions page there. Listen, even though we don't have a building right now we're meeting in, the ministry continues. The staff, all of the same employees are there. We're meeting there. They have an office at a different location, but the prison ministry is still happening. Email is still happening. Prayers, intercessions, counseling, all of the things are still happening that ever happened. I consider the prayer center to be the mothership, and our ministry and many other churches and ministries are like the satellites from the mothership. Sue and I, just so you'll know, we still consider the prayer center in Tulsa to be our home church. That's where we send our tithes and the bulk of our offerings. And of course, there's other ministries that we support also where we get fed, but your main giving should go to your home church, and that's the prayer center. So just consider it. They don't ask me to do this. I don't get any part of anything that goes there. But if it's been a while, or if you've never given, if you're a partaker of the fruit of Dave Roberson Ministries, I just highly recommend that you help support them. They have a contributions page. You can give by credit card. You can give by PayPal. You can mail in an offering the old-fashioned way with a check and an envelope and a stamp. That still can happen. Yes. Okay. Enough of that. So last week we talked specifically about prayer and fasting. But now, and God, there's so much more we could say. But now this week, the next one here is humble yourself by listening. And really, the next one is right. I don't know that I can separate them. Humble yourself by obeying. Let's talk about listening. Oh, let me read the rest of them just so you'll have the whole list. Item 1, humble yourself by believing the word. Number 2, humble yourself through fasting. Number 3, humble yourself by praying. Number 4, humble yourself by listening. Number 5, humble yourself by obeying. Number 6, humble yourself through worship. And number 7, humble yourself by choosing my thoughts, that's God's thoughts, and rejecting yours. And we'll get to that eventually. But today we're going to specifically talk about humble yourself by listening. Well, again, I thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson and all of the wonderful teachings that he gave us on how you can distinguish God's voice. Someone was asking me again just today, just so you'll know what my life is like now, even though we're not meeting in a building, I'm still doing these services every week. And then also, like this morning, I had an early morning. For me, it was like 5 a.m. But in Australia, where I was teaching, it was like 10 o'clock at night. And so they stayed from 10 to midnight. Thank God for hungry people that are hungry for the Word of God. And they didn't make me get up at 3 a.m. what a world we live in. I've already ministered in Australia this morning to a group. Now I'm doing this recording that will be for Sunday morning. And then this afternoon at 4:30, I'm going to Brazil. Now, not physically, but I'm going by way of Zoom. And I've got a teaching session this afternoon there. What was interesting in this morning session, not only was I involved in it, but Pastor Brock was from Florida. He was involved in it. And our friend Anthony Boney, he was in Peru right now ministering with Christine Carmichael down there. And he joined in from Peru. What a world we live in. Again, I think I think the Apostle Paul would just, if he saw the technology that we have today, and he says, you can talk to the whole world from your living room and you haven't got the whole world saved yet. Slap, slap. What's wrong with you? Well, in love, you know, he'd get all right. Humble yourself by listening. I remember in the early days when I was out of the trucks and I was able to go to the prayer center. And when we used to have all night prayer meetings that would be on Friday night starting at 6 o'clock, and they would last till Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And you just stay all night. You could bring a pillow and a blanket if you just pick you out a spot of carpet somewhere or a spot on, you lean up against the wall and just pray. And if you got too sleepy, you could take a little nap and then wake up and pray. And I remember when the early days, and man, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and Dave taught us about the benefits of praying. And I'd go down there, man, and I'm praying, just, I got the motor running. You know what I mean? Just praying. And Dave, he'd kind of walk around and kind of observe and see how we were doing. And this would go on for hours and hours and have a lot of people there praying. But more than once over the years, now Dave was always gentle and kind, but he was also a father to us and trying to help us. And every now and then he would listen to me as he'd walk by, and he'd say, "Now, Gary, you need to listen. It's good to pray, but you also need to listen." And at first I didn't really hardly know what he meant by that. So I just pray, you know. And it's good. But see, eventually, you got to come to the place where you listen to God. You know, God's still speaking today. Him who speaks from heaven, refuse not him who speaketh. He still speaketh. It's not past tense, it's present tense. He's still speaking today. And thank God for his word. We do have the word of God. And listen, every problem you ever have is already solved by God's word. But we do need direction. And that's also the thing that Pastor Dave really helped me with in the early days. Because I thank God, that the first learning we had regarding the Holy Ghost was what you'd call the Word of Faith movement. And I know, people have got off in the ditch on everything. But listen, the core foundational values of the Word of Faith is great. Greed is not, okay? But if it had not been for the teachings that we received from the Word of Faith, I would have died of melanoma cancer in my early 40s before I ever met Dave Roberson. I wouldn't have lived to ever be there. I was already 45 years old the day that we first ever walked through the door of the prayer center and started hearing those messages. If it had not been, if all I had known when I got attacked with melanoma cancer was what I had learned in the Baptist church, and I'm just, Thank God for the Baptist. You can get saved there. Thank God my daddy got saved in a Baptist church. His daddy got saved in a Baptist church. Dave would say, thank God for the Baptist. If it wasn't for them, where would we Pentecostals get our people? Thank God for the Baptist. And they preach Christ and him crucified, and I thank God for that. But they don't teach healing very strong at all. It's always, well, you know, if it be thy will. Anyway, can't go there. But if that's all I had known, if I had not known that it was the will of God to heal me of melanoma cancer and how to draw on the word, on the power of the word using faith, if I had not known how to do that, I mean, the doctors gave me 6 months. You know, these are people that know what they're doing. They deal with cancer all the time. And after they biopsied mine and, you know, here I am in my, I think I was 42, 43. And you know, the doctor said, young man, if I was you, I'd get my affairs in order. We're going to do our best for you, but I don't think you have 6 months to live. Slap. You talk about getting your attention. And we were born again and spirit filled. I could shondai along with anybody, but I didn't do it very much because I'd never been taught how or that I even should. What I'm saying is, thank God that we had the foundation of the word of faith, that I knew what to do to act on the word. And, you know, thank God I say now, you know, I'm 77 now. Thank God that's been a long 6 months. So I thank God for that. But see, so we had the word of faith, but we didn't know how to hear God's direction very much. We had done basically whatever was made available to us. You know, the man that led us to the Lord had a prison ministry, and we helped him with that until he got married and moved to another state. And then almost by default, we inherited that prison ministry. We did it for several more years. And so we've done prison ministry. There was a time we did worship in a church because I was the only guy there that knew how to play a musical instrument. And so if you ever heard me sing, you know, that's not my calling to be worship leader. But why did you do it? Well, it was available to do. It needed to be done. And so many things like that. So we had done all these different things and just hoping that some of it was God, you know. But we meet Pastor Dave, and Pastor Dave starts talking about, now he was a word of faith man. He used to say, my underwear is made out of a Tulsa faith flag. In other words, and he would tell me directly, don't ever abandon what you've learned on the word of faith. He says, but what you need to do, hang on to all of that. Keep it because it's true. But there's also a thing called the leadership of the Spirit, Gary. And you need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Not everything that presents itself to you is God's plan for your life. Well, boy, I know that's true today. Now, let me fast forward over all these years. If I was to just go by the opportunities that are before me and have been before me for years, I could be gone every week of the year to a different country. We have invitations, or you can, and have had for years from everywhere from Peru, Mexico, Canada, Brazil, Africa, many countries in Europe, Germany especially, England especially. If I was to just begin to take, this opportunity that India, just so many places around the world. If I was to just say, every opportunity that presents itself, that's got to be God's will, I'd be gone every week of the year. In other words, if I did not know now how to be led by the Spirit, even Paul and Silas, when they didn't know what to do, remember they had finished their assignment and they didn't know what they were supposed to do next. And so in the natural, they're just reasoning, you know, well, maybe we need to go to Asia. Asia needs to hear the word of God. But the Holy Spirit didn't permit it, not at that time. Later on, they did go to Asia, but not at that time. And then, so they, okay, we're not supposed to go to Asia. Maybe Bithynia, you know, I almost see Paul and Silas having this discussion around a campfire, you know. Maybe Silas said, Paul, have you ever been to Bithynia? No, I've never been there. Man, and Silas says, I've been there. I'm telling you, ain't nothing but a bunch of heathens. Them Bithynians, they need the gospel, I tell you. And so they're thinking about going to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit didn't allow that either. It wasn't God's plan. And this is what Dave kept telling me. He says, listen, there's a lot of things you can do, but what matters is what Jesus wants you to do. And that plan comes by way of the Holy Ghost. You got to keep, hold on to your word of faith. Hold on to all the doctrine that you've learned. It's absolutely true. But what you need to do now is couple that with the leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm saying all that because that goes right hand in hand with listening. You've got to come to the place where you listen to what God is saying. Well, and again, I'm going to remind you, him that speaketh, we need to hear him that speaketh from heaven. He's still speaking. Now, I'm seeing again Elijah's cave, not Elijah, but Elijah. And what had happened, this was after his confrontation on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And I hope you know that whole story. It was a tremendous victory for Elijah and for the kingdom of God. But boy, he stirred the hornet's nest. And here's Jezebel, which is the enemy, the queen at the time. And she plainly just says, I'm going to kill you within the next 24 hours. What you've done to my prophets, I'm going to do to you. Because, you know, over 400 of them was killed. Well, Elijah set out running. And he, long story, but anyway, he winds up at this cave. Now, when you've done the will of God, which he definitely did on Mount Carmel, and demonstrated, I mean, I love that story. That's where he threw down the gauntlet. If Baal be God, how long, Israel, are you going to halt between two opinions? Listen, if Baal is really God, serve him. But if the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, if he is God, serve him. And so you know the whole story. They had the showdown on Mount Carmel. They prepared the offering. They prepared the altar. And the prophets of Baal all day long, they called upon their god, Baal, and to send fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice. Nothing happened. Elijah actually kind of made fun of them, you know. Maybe Baal's on vacation. Maybe he's relieving himself. You know. But anyway, fire never fell. And they even cut themselves with stones. They did all kinds of stuff. No fire. And what does he do? He says, drench the offering with water. Do it again. Do it three times. Dig a ditch. Fill it with water around it. But when Elijah prayed, the fire of God fell. It consumed the animal. It consumed the wood. It consumed the rocks. It broke the rocks. It licked up the water in the trench. The fire fell. And all of a sudden, the people went, Jehovah, he is God. That's a victory. That's a major victory. Then they slaughtered all of these false prophets of Baal. You don't want to be a false prophet. Well, again, boy, did he get the devil's attention. And now through Jezebel, the devil is coming after Elijah. He winds up in this cave. And if any man ever needed to hear God, Elijah needed to hear God. Now, I mentioned this in, I think, last week's lesson that, you know, fasting is one of the tools that God has given us where we can get quiet. It is amazing that, especially if you fast longer than 3 or 4 days, beyond there, you're going to enter into a place of quietness. That's just amazing. And anyway, I've already taught that last week. So fasting is a big help on that. Prayer is a big help on that. Going to a cave. What's a cave? Well, a cave shuts out everything else. I mean, you're not distracted. If you're in this cave, you're not seeing the world, you know. So it's a type of separating yourself in order to hear God. But see, I love how it's described there. There was and I may have them out of sequence, but there was a fire, and there was an earthquake, and the rocks broke. And there was a great wind that came, but see, the Lord wasn't in any of those things. And really, that's like the first 3 or 4 days of prayer and fasting when you're seeking God And especially if you're fasting, my body throws a hissy fit, and you're going to give me what I want or I'm going to kill you. I have all these emotions and everything, and I'm just trying to hear God. But God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. God wasn't in the wind. But finally, see, a great calm came. Boy. And that's when Elijah began to hear that still, small voice. Begin to hear, you're listening on purpose. You've shut out the world. You've been praying. You've been fasting. Maybe you've even been in the Word some. It doesn't say anything about Elijah being in the Word, but you get quiet. And there's a time for listening. Not really today teaching so much about waiting on the Lord, but in a way this is part of it. You've got to get to a place where you're quiet. You know, I didn't look up any verses again today. I don't think he wanted me to. But there's that verse that says, be still and know that I am God. Whew. Do what it takes to find your quiet place. He that abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a secret place where it's just you and him. You know, through the blueprint prophecies again and again and again, the Lord says, come away with me, my beloved. Come and spend time with the Lord. The Lord says, seek me and you'll find me. When you seek me with your whole heart, see, whatever it takes, what's it worth to get into that quiet place where you begin to hear the Lord and really hear the Lord? One of the persons in the earlier session in Australia asked the question about, well, how do I know if it's God or if it's me? Well, you know, Dave used to help us with that, with his parable of the barber shop. You know, somebody came in. This is how Dave would tell the story. They'd come to Pastor Dave and they'd say, I've been doing what you've been preaching, and Pastor Dave, I heard God. You did? What did he tell you? Oh, he told me to go to the barber shop at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There'd be a man sitting in the barber chair getting a haircut, and my job was to go and preach the gospel to him, and he would hear and he would believe and he'd be saved. And so Dave says, wonderful, wonderful. Did you go to the barber shop? I did. I went to the barber shop at 2 o'clock, and Pastor Dave, the barber shop was closed. There was nobody there. And here comes the question. Why would God send me to the barbershop at 2 in the afternoon when he knew it would be closed? And the answer is, that wasn't God that sent you. That wasn't his voice. See, and what Dave was teaching us, listen, we have all taken our trips to the barbershop. And that is part of the process of learning to distinguish God's voice. I could sit here for I don't know how many hours and tell you about my trips to the barbershop. Now, especially in the early days, but I don't want you to think that never happens yet. Still yet, once in a while. I'll think I heard God, and it turns out I didn't really hear God. But I'm telling you, those trips to the barbershop get far and few between the longer that you do this. It's not near like it was in the early days. But I'll tell you this, if you don't ever go to the barbershop, you'll never know. There it is. People that just sit and never act on what they hear at all, they're not really going to grow. Part of the growing is learning what is you, what is God, and what is... Now, I tell people all the time, listen, you've got to be in the Word enough to know when it's blatantly the devil. I actually had a man one time tell me that he heard God tell him that other man's wife over there was really supposed to be his wife and that he was supposed to claim her. See, there is nothing scriptural about that at all. I mean, I've read stories. For years, I read about that happening with other ministers, and then one time it actually happened with me. Somebody said that to me, and I had to tell him. I said, that's demonic, brother. That's not God at all. That's not God that told you. By the way, they didn't like that one little bit and left in a huff, and I have not seen them since. Well, that's part of the path too, you know. You just got to tell the truth in love, you know. Whether they receive it or not is up to them. But see, you've got to be in the Word enough to know if stuff is just blatantly demonic, you know. And you know, God says, well, I want you to go watch porno for 2 hours. Trust me, that's the devil. Okay. I want you to, anyway, if it's blatantly anti-scriptural, then you know that's the devil. But usually the trips to the barbershop aren't something like that. It's something good, something your own mind thought of. And usually they're relatively harmless, but you'll never know if you don't act on them at all. If you don't ever try them, how are you going to know? It's one of the ways that you learn to distinguish what's coming from your intellect and what's coming from God's Spirit. Okay. I do really highly recommend, again, Dave Roberson's two-part series titled Distinguishing God's Voice. Now, I'm going to just say it again. If you'll do what's on there, I had to do it for months before it began really working for me. Again, why does God use you, Brother Gary? There's one reason and one reason only. I don't have any quitting sense. I get discouraged like anybody else. I feel like quitting like anybody else. But my daddy, bless his darling heart, O.R. Carpenter, pounded into me, there is no such thing as quit. And, you know, so I just kept after it. It is what it is. And then it began to work. Now, some people hear God pretty easy, and I thank God for that. If you're able to hear God, praise God for you. But anyway, getting back to listening, I had to learn, just like Pastor Dave was trying to tell me, Gary, there's time to pray and time to listen. Time to pray and time to listen. So I began, it took a long time, but I began listening. Now, let me read you some of the notes here. I wrote a few notes for today's. Humble yourself by listening. See, now I understand why the Holy Spirit gave this instruction on that list. After fasting and prayer, he mentioned humble yourself by fasting, humble yourself by prayer. Then the next thing he said was humble yourself by listening. I understand why. It's when we get quiet before the Lord that we start discerning his voice. Now he can talk. I've heard his voice in the midst of turmoil. Trust me, he can shout. He can talk to you stronger than the wind and the waves. Okay. I don't care what storm you're in. You can hear him. But what I'm talking about is when you're not in the storm and you on purpose, you go to your cave, your quiet place, your secret place, shut out the world. Please shut off Facebook, shut off the, you know, I actually remember a day when we didn't have cell phones. There was no such thing on planet Earth. I used to drive those trucks. I didn't have a cell phone during those days. If I wanted to talk to Sue, I had to wait till the next time that I could pull off in those trucks and find a pay phone somewhere. Yes, a pay phone. Many of you youngsters may not even, you put money in the pay phone, or you had a credit card that you typed the numbers in. I couldn't just call it and talk to her from a phone in my possession. Well, there's times to get quiet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I'm gonna obey no matter what. Let me find it here. I'm gonna show you a great tool. This is so valuable. How did they do it on TV? For a love offering of only $19.95. I will share with you a secret of the ages. This will transform your life. You'll never be the same. You'll come to the place where you can hear God and obey what he's saying. You're going to change the world. And it's all for just a love offering of $19.95. Okay, how did I do? You ready? You ready for a tool that'll change you and change the world? You ready? Here it is. I'm bringing it up. It's called a planner. It's called a calendar, just a plain old calendar. I know you have one on your phone. But you might want to resort to an old-fashioned written calendar. Why, Gary, why? Well, see, what the Lord is calling us to do is to become even more laser-focused on revival than we've been in the past. And according to the blueprint, that means spending more time with Him than ever before. Well, what does that mean? That means more time in the Word. That means more time in worship. That means more time in prayer. That means more time in fasting. He's given me specific instructions on fasting this year that I've never heard before. Gary, what is it? It's none yet. It doesn't even matter. See, at my stage of life, I'm 77 years old and relatively good health, and I don't have the same responsibilities that I had when I had three children in the house and had to go to work every day and make a living, bring in money. I mean, a young man with a family has to go to work. A woman raising kids got to change the diapers, feed the babies, do everything that's required. And so the time is limited, see. But see, at my stage of life, if there's anyone accountable for their time, it's me, because He's pretty well freed me up. We have enough income where the bills are paid. There's gasoline in the car. There's chicken in the fridge, you know. I'm free to, I have all this time. It wouldn't do for me to tell you what my schedule is. You need to get your own schedule. But the reason for the calendar is this. There is no such thing as change without change. I want to pray more. Good. That's good. When are you going to pray more? Like tomorrow's Friday, or, you know, tomorrow's Thursday, whatever tomorrow is when you watch this. When are you going to pray tomorrow? Is it in your planner? What hours? What hours are you going to pray? You know? You're going to get quiet, are you? What hours are you going to get quiet? Are you going to fast during that time too? That'd be a good thing, you know, fast and pray. You know, to get, what time tomorrow are you going to start? What time are you going to end? See, now I have myself a schedule. Like tomorrow, I know when I'm going to start praying, and I know when I'm going to stop praying. Then I'm going to have a few hours break, and I'm going to start again. And I know when I'm going to start again. I know what time I'm going to start again. See, and you need to start teaching. If we're really going to become disciplined followers, see, there's such a thing as disciple. Well, disciple comes from the word discipline. If we're going to become disciplined followers of the Lord, we're going to have a disciplined prayer life. We're going to have a disciplined fasting life. Just to say, I want to pray more is not good enough, because that's a good intention. But if you don't do something to change, if you don't schedule your prayer time, don't ask me how I know this. You already know how I know this. Yeah. I want to pray more this year than I did last year. Well, if you don't schedule that, most likely another year is going to go by. Not much change will happen. What about fasting? Oh, I'm going to fast more this year. Really? Okay. When are you going to fast? If you don't schedule your fasting, if you don't schedule it, it's not likely you're really going to change very much. I'll tell you one thing that'll do too. It'll show you your lack of obedience. You schedule your fasting and then track what you really do. We'll get an obedience meter here. See, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Well, I'm willing, yeah, but are you obedient? Well, I'm willing to fast more, but are you fasting more? I'm willing to pray more. Okay, are you praying more? If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Okay. I hope I'm making a point. Please take it to heart. I don't care if you use your phone. I really recommend a written calendar. That may just be my generation. I don't know. I use my phone for everything. All my doctor's appointments and everything's on my phone. I would show it to you, but I'm talking into it. But I have all my doctor's appointments and stuff in my phone and with alerts, so it'll remind me, thank God. But my prayer time and my fasting, yes, sir. Okay, I'm not going to ignore him now whenever. Listen, have you ever had a toothache? And I mean one of those bad ones where maybe your jaw is swollen. It's throbbing, painful. You can't get relief. You do everything you know and your whole jaw is swollen out. Pain, man, if you ever had a real toothache and you call the dentist and you're wanting to get in by the next 30 minutes, you know, oh, I'm in pain. I got to come in. And they say, okay, good. We can see you next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Next Tuesday. I got to live with it. And you're in agony and agony until finally Tuesday at 3 o'clock and you're there. Now, let me ask you. You're finally in the dentist chair and the dentist, the one who can help you, is working on you. Who is going to be able to reach you by text? Who are you going to answer a phone call from? No. You're finally with the one who can help you. And you're not going to allow that time to be interrupted for anything. Shouldn't we give the Holy Spirit the same respect that we would give a dentist or a doctor? Shouldn't we? You're finally with the one who can help you. See, one thing I'm firmly convinced of, there is no person on planet Earth that can get us into the kind of revival that he's promised us. There's no person that can get us there. There's no university we can attend. There's no church we can go to. Because nowhere on planet Earth are the Jesus meetings happening on a regular basis. And I mean the kind where they all get healed first time, every time, no exceptions, where it doesn't matter what they come, the malady or the problem they come with, blindness, deafness, missing a leg, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. They get what they come for, and they all get healed just like they did in the Jesus meetings that he ran. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's wanting to have those same kind of meetings today through us. But who can get us from the powerlessness of the church today to that level of power that he wants to demonstrate to the world? Who can get us from here to there? There's only one teacher. There's only one person. If there was a church where that was happening, I would go sit and be taught by them. I'd be happy to. But there isn't. Nowhere on earth is it. Thank God for the gifts. There's healings here and healings there, but they're sporadic. That's not the way a Jesus meeting was. They all got healed first time, every time, no exceptions. That's what he wants. That's what he's going to have. Well, who's going to get us from where we are in our powerlessness to that level of consistent power? There's only one, and that's the Holy Spirit. And when you schedule time with the Holy Spirit, that's way more important than the time you would schedule with a dentist or a doctor. Whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to hit the table. All right, see, praise God for the Holy Ghost. I really recommend that calendar. All right, back to my notes here for just a moment. Man, the time is just flying by. See, Jesus said that he would not leave us as orphans. Orphans have no provider. Orphans have no one to lead them. I always picture a little brother, sister, 5, 6, 7 years old, holding hands, walking down a dark alley in England, you know, and they're just looking for a half-eaten apple core maybe somebody threw away, just something. Because they have no provider, no one to lead them, no one to guide them, no one to teach them. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm going to send you another comforter, another helper. And he, I love that personal pronoun, not it, he will guide you into all truth. Whew. Man, we are not alone. He has not left us as orphans. The Holy Spirit, he has come to teach us and guide us through life. I thank God for Pastor Dave teaching me about the leadership that comes by way of the Holy Spirit. yes, stand on the word, be a word of faith man, but also learn to be led by his Spirit. He will lead us and he will guide us. See, the 12 apostles, they heard the Lord directly from his physical lips to their physical ear. We don't really hear him that way today. But Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice. I am convinced the Lord is speaking a lot more than we are hearing. I'm just convinced of that. Can you imagine? One day I was complaining that I wasn't hearing the Lord. And really, I was kind of, okay, I'm confession time. That day, in my mind, I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. I'm here. I've been praying. I'm listening. I'm quiet. And I was kind of blaming him for not speaking. So anytime you blame the Lord for anything, I don't recommend that. I wasn't really saying it out loud, but that was my attitude of heart. Lord, I've been here. I've been praying. I've been listening. You know, and why aren't you speaking? And all of a sudden, I had one of those little teaching visions. I mean, the Lord can straighten you out that quick, boy. In my mind, I just saw Jesus walk up to me like I was one of the 12, like back in the day and on planet Earth, and I'm one of the 12. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks right up and stands right in front of me. And I'm going, Lord, what would you have me do? And he just stands there. He doesn't say a word. And I'm going, Lord, what would you have me do? And he just stands there. And he wouldn't say a word. Lord, why won't you speak to me? And in his vision, he just stood there, didn't say a word. And he went, do you think that's what's happening? Do you think I would come and just not share with you my mind for you're my body. You're my body. I do through you. I'm not going to stand there and be silent. The problem is not on my end, son. The problem is on your end. You're just not hearing what I'm saying. Oh. Well, listening. The first thing you're going to have to do is make an adjustment of attitude in the heart. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I don't care what the silence. See, I remember those early days over at the ugly building, and I mean, for days and weeks and in months, I would do what Dave teaches on that 2-tape series, Distinguishing God's Voice. And I would listen, and to me, the silence was deafening. To me, it was exactly like that little vision. I'm here listening. I'm here praying. And you're not speaking. See, I really thought that's the way it was. But the problem was Elijah's cave. I still hadn't gotten quiet enough for that still small voice. Yes, sir. And I'll go ahead and confess to you, I wasn't fasting then. Dave was diligent to teach it, but I just didn't do it. Why didn't you? It's called rebellion. I didn't like fasting. I still don't like it today, to be honest with you. The only part of it I do like today is when I make it into that quiet place. Boy, that once you're there, you're really glad you're there. It's like Dave teaches when he talks about the glassy, still pond. You know, you ever been at a pond when there's no wind and the water's like glass? The stillness. And you could take the tiniest pebble and throw it in that water, and wherever it hits, plop. Boy, it's going to draw your attention. And you'll see the ripples. If it was a windy day and the waves are churning and everything, you wouldn't even notice that pebble. But boy, when it's still and when it's calm, you throw just a pebble in there, it's going to draw your attention. That's the way it is when you get into that quiet place. And anyway, it took a long time. It took perseverance. But finally, I began to hear him. See, the thing of it is, when I began to hear him, most of you know it's more than, but a big part of that is what is at the website called the face-to-face documents. And it just started flowing like a river. The thing of it is, it was always flowing. God didn't have that river dammed up. I just finally got to the place where I was tuned in. it is also, it's very much like a radio station, and that's why Dave teaches it the way he does, about distinguishing God's voice and listening for the tongues. That is, see, if you can speak with tongues, you can hear God, because you can't speak with tongues without hearing God. It's not you originating those syllables. It's you speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives those syllables. You're not creating the language. He is creating the language. Now it's you speaking them, but it's Him originating them. If you can speak with tongues, you are hearing Him. That transfer is being made within you from the Holy Spirit to your spirit, then to your mind, so that you can speak them. It's coming out your lips because that transfer is happening within you. You can't speak with other tongues without hearing those syllables coming across from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. And he that speak, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But it's as the Holy Spirit is giving the utterance. He's the one creating it. So that's why Dave teaches it. For the longest time, that didn't dawn on me, but that's why he teaches it the way he does. That place in you where you hear the tongues is the same place in you where you hear him speak in English. And I'll just tell you, or your known language, whatever it is. I'll just tell you right now, it's more aligned with your conscience than it is your intellect. Your conscience communicates with you, but it's not usually English. It's not usually your known language. You just think about stealing something. Boy, that conscience communicates with you and strong, like, whoa, no. But it's not English. It's not your known, it's not Chinese. It's not your known language. But boy, it communicates, and it communicates perfectly. You know exactly what it's saying. No, I can't steal that. I can't, or tell a lie, or, you know, anything like that. That conscience communicates with you, but it's not really a known language, but boy, it's effective, and you understand it. Listen, that frequency, that place within you, where the tongues comes from, that's why Dave has us focus on that place. Listen for them. That place, pay attention right there. That's where he speaks. The day will come. You'll start hearing him in your known language. All right. I recommend again to you Dave's two-part series, Distinguishing God's Voice, daveroberson.org. Click on the series button on the left. There's a whole list of his series, Distinguishing God's Voice. I highly recommend it. So back to my notes here just a little bit. My goodness, we're going to run out of time here. My sheep hear my voice. See, I'm convinced the Lord is speaking a lot more often than we're hearing. I believe that with all my heart. One of the primary reasons that we're not hearing is we're just too busy, people. These days, we constantly have to have, it seems like we have input all the time. Conversations, television, radio, social media, news reports, of all kinds. When I take my phone and I take it off of silent, boy, it won't be very long. Ding, buzz, whiz, it's another text, it's another WhatsApp message, it's another Telegram message, it's an email, it's a news flash, it's ding, ding, ding. And we have a Ring doorbell now. Somebody's at the door. It seems like it's almost like the enemy's plan to keep us so constantly busy. We never find that quiet place where you hear his still small voice. You're going to have to do something on purpose. Did I recommend? Yes, sir. I'll say that. See, now tomorrow, I'll just tell you the truth. The day of the week tomorrow, in my life, from 7 in the morning until noon, you're not going to be able to reach me. Why? I'm going to be in the dentist chair. No, I'm going to be in my quiet place. I'm going to be in with the one who can help me. And you're not going to be able to reach me. Now, I do, to be honest, because of the somewhat pastoral position that the Lord's given me, I do check in at least maybe once every hour and a half to just to make sure nobody's broke a leg or we're dying over here, you know, just to make sure there's not some real emergency. But all things being normal, tomorrow from 7 o'clock in the morning till noon at least, and that's just the first session, you won't be able to reach me unless it's an absolute emergency. The ringer will be off, do not disturb will be on. And why? I'm going to be with the one who can help me. There'll be lots of prayer during that time, and there will be times of just being quiet, just listening. He may speak, he may not. But I'm not, I'm equal. But if I don't listen, and if I don't get quiet, how will I know? Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to chance. And even if you are young and got children and got to keep a job, God understands all of that. He's not asking for the time you don't have. He's asking for some of the time that you do have. And if all you have right now is like, Brother Gary, all I have right now is 1 hour on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. From 6 to 7, I can do that. Well, bless God, do that. And shut the phone off for that hour. Push away from the table. Don't eat anything during at least that hour. Begin. At least start somewhere. The Lord knows your situation. He's not calling you to not do your job and not change the diapers and all of that. He understands. Again, I'm in a different position in life, but we all have got to develop this ability to listen. Humble yourself by getting quiet on purpose. Wait upon the Lord. Spend time just being in His presence. We hadn't even talked about worship, but worship is another thing that just brings the presence of God. Listening. Learn to listen for His voice. And then that brings us to the next part of humbling ourselves, which I've only got 8 minutes here now. Humble yourself by obeying. Now, if you want to read this, I don't have time today to read it, but you can read about the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. You remember that guy? And I'm going to synopsize real quick. This is a good young man. Jesus looked at this man and loved him. He's a good man. He had done his best to keep the law. But he approaches Jesus and he says, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life? So Jesus basically quotes back some of the commandments to him. Don't murder, don't kill, honor your mother and father, don't, you know, this and that. And he said, well, all these things I've kept from my youth up. In other words, he had done his best to keep the law. And under the system of the law, nobody perfectly kept it. But under the system of the law, if you violated it, if you sinned, well, you'd brought the appropriate sacrifice and offering. And once you did that, then you're reconciled. And according to the law, you're okay. So he's saying, well, I've done my best to keep the law. Jesus looked at him and loved him. This is a good young man. But see, under that first covenant, it was blessing and cursing. If you obey me, I bless you. If you don't, then there's a cursing. So that's what he was used to his whole life. But see, he never, under that old covenant, you could not hear from God for yourself. You either had to go to the prophet, the priest, or, you know, on rare occasion, the king, but normally the prophet or the priest. That is where you would hear God. The Joe, as Dave would say, Joe public, Mary wallpaper, because they weren't born again. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They could not hear God directly for themselves. That's the system that this rich young ruler grew up under. All he knew was, if I obey the law, God blesses me. And he had. The man's rich, okay? But that's the only system that he's ever known. So let me read that here in my notes real quick. In the old covenant, the average person did not have the ability to hear God directly. If they wanted to hear God, they went to the prophet, the priest, or the Levite to find out what was written in the law. The people didn't have their own Bibles at home, of course, or scrolls, I guess, of the law. Now, the young man had done his best to keep the law, and the Lord had done his part by blessing him with wealth. But now get this. I'm sure the rich young ruler probably didn't realize this, but he's actually, when he comes to Jesus, and standing in front of Jesus and hearing Jesus speak. He doesn't realize it yet, but for the first time in his life, he is hearing directly from God. He is hearing the voice of the Lord. At that moment, he's hearing it from the lips of Jesus to his physical ear. But for the first time in his life, he is hearing instruction directly from God. Whew. I don't know how much he realized that. So he's hearing him. He's hearing from the Lord directly. But now notice the instruction that Jesus gave him to sell all that he had, give it to the poor, come and follow me. He did not have the character within himself to obey it. See, this is why I'm sure for years the Lord has been having us go through what he calls the purging by fire. It's really dealing with the flesh. It's dealing with pride. It's dealing with selfish ambition. It's dealing with us, you know, wanting our way instead of us yielding to what the Lord says. Developing that character of Christ, because that is exactly the character of Christ. Jesus said, I've not come to do mine own will. I've come to do the will of him that sent me. Well, Jesus said about us, he told the Father, he said, I'm sending them the same way you sent me. So our character has to be, if we're going to have the same molding of character to have Christ within us being predominant, then our self-will has to die the same way his does. I mean, he had a will. He says, not my will, but thine be done. He had a will. He was constantly humbling himself so that the will of the Father would be done instead of his own will, see? Well, this rich young ruler, he has come to the place where he's hearing the Lord now, see? I tell people all the time, the easier part is where you come to where you hear the Lord. We can, you know, you do what Dave teaches, you will come to the place where you hear the Lord. That's the easy part. The hard part is being mortified enough, can I say dead enough, to obey him when he does talk. Because he may say something to you that you don't want to hear either. Rich young ruler didn't want to hear that. What? Sell everything that I have, give it to the poor, then come follow you? What? He couldn't bring himself to do it. Now, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus knew this young man's not born again. He understood that couldn't happen until after the resurrection of Christ. But see, this is one reason why our covenant that we're in is so much better than this old covenant. We are born again. We have the nature of Christ within us, at least in seed form. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, it comes in, you know, the seed, it comes in really small, like the smallest seed in the garden. We all start off as normal, selfish, greedy humans, okay, with a self-will. But within the born-again person, see, is the very life and nature of Christ within that seed. Every seed carries an image. A corn seed in that little yellow seed is the image of a 7-foot-tall green plant with multiple ears of corn on it. The image is in the seed. When you got born again, the full mature Christ, the image of Christ in fullness is in your born again nature. That comes in like a seed. How much you nurture it, how much you water it, how much you know, God gives the increase, but it's got to be nurtured and watered, okay? We have the potential for Christ to grow up in us, where it can be seen in the world. Paul said, I am travailing for you Galatians again like a mother till Christ be formed in you. And the image is a woman that's pregnant. And that little embryo has to be matured. It has to form. It has to develop lips and eyes and ears and all of the parts. And it has to come to a certain image before it's ready to be revealed to the world. And even then there's a maturity process after that. But Paul was just praying that Christ be formed within them to the point it could be born. Well, born is when it's seen by the world. It's already in you. But he's wanting to manifest Christ to the world. Man, I hope you're getting this. Hope I'm getting it too. The more we humble ourselves by doing the things listed in these teachings, humbling ourselves by all of the ways that he said, the more we are transformed to the very image of Christ. It takes humility to obey God. It takes faith to obey God. It takes trust to obey God. We're not going to walk in much of that unless we really know God. Come away with me, my beloved. My hour is up. My hour is up. Well, I hope that blessed you. I love you so much. Can't wait till next time. Bye-bye for now.